B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. It's the noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Make sure you get to 98.5 thesportshub.com. Bruins play game three of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. 8 o'clock puck drop. You can hear it live right here on 98.5 the Sports Hub. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers have the call. We also have Ty Anderson in Raleigh covering it. At our website, of course, download our app, the 98.5, the Sports Hub app, and stream us, take us wherever you go. Get us on your smart speaker as well.
Is this his first time on a plane?
I don't know.
Is that one of those kids like, has never been to an airport?
First time he's flown alone.
He's
flown without a parent.
I guess he's like, holy crap.
They had someone waiting at the gate to get him when he got there.
This airport's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he still had the note around his neck.
Yeah, he had a chaperone.
He got Sbarro and there's illegal seafood.
He was tweeting about the airport this morning. People get so upset over air travel. I think it's great. People gathered together and traveling all over the world.
Oh, God. My God. We're going to catch up with him at some point on this trip. He's traveling today, but we're going to catch up with him while he's in Raleigh. As I'm sure you will hear him on other shows as well.
Sure.
So, Ty Anderson is covering the series from the Raleigh side of it as well. He went on the road with the Bruins.
I guess people are chirping him down in Carolina too. Saying, "Look at you! You get your own little show there. You embracing little hockey expert attacking him." He goes, "Dude, why do you hate me?" He puts the tweets right back out. He calls people out. It's pretty good.
We are getting your calls, though. Bruins on the table, as is the Terry Rozier situation.
Terry Rozier. See, we just bumped back with a picture of Bledsoe and I.
Scary Terry.
Yeah, two guys playing the same position. Like, I was the backup. He was the starter, And when you bring one of those big-time guys in, like that picture there, here, Jerry, let me get the balls. You put this one in and shoot it to the receivers and we'll have fun. Because I understand my role, and I know what your role is. Yeah. Scary Terry. He wants to play hockey. They have different lines. Yeah, we got a unit. We got a second unit, first unit, or the two of the same, and we just wanted to play. There's people defending Rozier online. This is unbelievable.
Which one? Mac, okay.
Yeah,
I see one.
Yep.
Mac wants to defend Terry Rozier. Go ahead, Mac.
Hey, guys. Poor Ty. You guys were ruthless with him. I want to just say I'm more of like a devil's advocate for him, okay?
Okay.
So... not really defending him. Like, I really don't care about his attitude and stuff for the team and everything. But I'm looking at it as he needs to do something for his brand. He needs to market himself for a bigger contract, right? So what do you want him to do? Of course, he's going to build off the high point of going to Game 7.
Oh, I'd go on air. I'd go on national live television and say, I don't want to go back to, if that's going to be the same team, I want to eliminate the Celtics from a possibility of a return. That's good. Eliminate a team that's interested in you.
Okay, I'm not defending everything he's saying, but he's trying to make a best name for him for a bigger contract because they're probably just going to blow everything up with the Celtics, right?
We don't know that.
Blow what? What are they blowing up?
If they're losing Kyrie, what do they have? They're not going to make it past the 60s.
Well, wouldn't he be interested in returning then?
Okay, if they're losing Kyrie,
he's interested in the money, though.
Logically,
money.
Logically, if they're losing Kyrie, they should want to sign Terry Rozier.
Right.
Logically, if they had a guy behind him like Terry Rozier, who they drafted and they, I guess, developed, and if he has been here and had the right attitude, they should want to keep him, right? And pay him.
I guess so. I don't know what's going on in the locker room. It seems like everybody has a real bad attitude. So maybe they do want to get rid of him. New coach, clean slate.
Well, he talked about last year again. I mean, they keep the guys that seem to have the issue keep talking about last year, which is a long time ago. What happened this year? I'm starting to understand what...
It's just, this is what aggravates
me. What Marcus Smart is saying.
The guys who played during the playoffs last year apparently have... no responsibility for the way things went this year.
Zero.
It's as if they are completely absolved of any responsibility because Kyrie was on the floor. They are completely absolved of any responsibility because Kyrie was out
there.
That's
a good point.
And I get it.
Who's
Kyrie's the star. Kyrie deserves the most credit and the most blame. Facts.
That comes with it.
That comes with the territory. Kyrie absolutely deserves the most blame. Kyrie told you he was going to flip the switch. Kyrie's here to be the star. Kyrie's the guy who's supposed to lead you. He didn't. He didn't perform in the biggest moments. All true. And he deserves a ton of crap for that. But that doesn't absolve everybody else. That doesn't mean that everyone else gets let off the hook.
Which of the young players have accepted any portion of blame? That's a good point.
None of them. Not a single one of them.
And you want Jaylen Brown doesn't deserve blame. Jaylen Brown played great in the playoffs.
And we've said that.
Tatum deserves some blame. Rozier definitely deserves some blame. Hayward deserves a lot. He's not one of the guys that played last year.
Hayward should be freaking crushed.
I don't have a problem with Morris. I don't have a problem with Jaylen Brown. I don't have a problem with Marcus Smart in the limited minutes he played.
Smart was hurt. He doesn't even really count.
Baines played fine. I don't have a problem with him. He was hurt. It's really like two or three guys. That's it.
Yeah, it is. It really is like two or three guys.
Three big young core.
It really is like two or three guys.
Rozier, Tatum, and Brown.
And Rozier's one of them.
Yeah.
And Tatum is one of them.
I would take Brown out of that, Steven.
No, I agree with that, Jim, but I'm just saying, when we say of those young guys, I don't really look at the other ones. I just look at Tatum, Brown, and Rozier as guys that are actually.
Tatum, Rozier.
Yeah. That's your young core of young players. Marcus Smart's kind of a border one, but
well, Smart didn't really play that much, and Smart came in late, and he was hurt. I mean, he's not healthy.
But he kind of told you what was going on though, like from the Kyrie standpoint. Because like you're either all in or you're out on Kyrie. There's no middling, you know. Just making sure we're still in. I'm still in. You got your paper there?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep track.
Yeah, I'd put Rozier.
I'm trying to keep track.
I'd put Rozier on that other side, definitely.
Trying to keep track of which team I'm putting guys on. Rick is in Smithfield on the Bruins tonight. Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Well.
So it looks to me that San Jose and St. Louis make a little bit distance.
I'm going to put you on, Rick. I'm going to put you on hold quick because we have a little bit of a muffled connection there.
Wah, wah.
Wah, 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 wah. Sounds like the phone in Charlie Brown.
Is that Charlie Brown or is that Popeye?
No, it's Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah.
It's the teacher.
Wah, wah, the teacher.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Wah, wah.
Doesn't Popeye have one, too? Alice the Goon? Right, Hardy?
Oh, my God. That thing was...
That's scary. How much did that scare you as a kid? Alice the Goon, that thing came out of nowhere, like that wacko. You can't make cartoons like that nowadays.
Yes. Pat and Seacon. Let's try Pat.
How's it going? I'm going to mention Kyrie, and I'm going to mention the Celtics. I think Kyrie just didn't do as well as everyone thought. He was off on himself. I think Rozier kind of has a point. If the team doesn't change, we're not going to go nowhere, and Hayward and Rozier is to blame for that. They didn't come up in the playoffs, and I think the team has to change and get a shot for Anthony Davis. And same with the playoffs. Tatum did terrible. Hayward did terrible. And just your thoughts on the Celtics going forward.
I think that's a really good breakdown you just had right there. You should apply to NBC Sports Boston for some Celtics coverage on a post-up show.
Why are you going to mock everybody?
No, I'm serious.
You jerk. God, Rozier doesn't have a point. Bullcrap, he has a point.
Pretty much summarized Celtics season here.
Like, the team has to change or I'm not coming back. Get out of here with that garbage. This team has plenty of talent and is capable of winning.
Do you got basketball scores on your phone? Is
your phone has basketball
scores? Stop. Let's see if we can get Rick on again. Rick.
Hey. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Can you hear me better?
We got you great. Yep.
All right. So are you concerned if it looks like St. Louis and San Jose are going to go the distance? And if they do, that would be 21 straight games for San Jose with no break, really. Every team that's been swept or has swept, with the exception of Carolina, is gone. Are you afraid the Bruins are going to fall into that same trap? If from the outside looking in here, it looks like we're going to, I don't want to jinx it, but I mean, we're walking all over them.
It's best case scenario. You quickly end this and have that other series get extended. People forget too. It was Sharks Vegas that went to that overtime. They had to come back and score those four goals. They'd be a little more worn down than you are.
Yeah, Hardy and I sort of debated this yesterday. Hardy says you don't want to have too much of a layoff, I agree with that. You don't want to have too much time off.
What about a guy like Chara?
But they could use a few extra days.
Chara, Bergeron, Tuca, be nice.
They could use a few extra days where it's not too long. You don't want to be waiting around for a week.
If they sweep, it'll be like 10 or 11 days.
Oh, no. See, that's too much.
Because if they sweep, they'll be done Thursday, and the Stanley Cup doesn't start till what, Monday?
Yeah, I heard Felger talking about this. He said it starts, first game is always Monday, Memorial Day.
All right, so let me look.
You sweep, it's 11 days.
Wow, that's way too much time. That is way too much time. We know that for sure. It always starts on Monday.
That's what Mike said.
I'm going off of what Zoe said. So
when the Stanley Cup started in 2011, it was on a Saturday, I believe it started.
Yeah. I don't forget stuff. Felger said it starts on Monday, Memorial Day. It's usually when the Stanley Cup finals start. He could be wrong.
Oh. I thought it started on a Saturday. Maybe I'm totally making that up.
I remember Mike working that day back in.
Completely wrong about that.
So he was doing pre and post. Cross pucks thing, I think.
Cross pucks.
Checks.
Check puck.
Check mix.
Check.
Yeah. Milbury, right? And then Amonte.
I'm curious to look up like previous.
Yeah.
June 2011. It started on a Wednesday.
Stanley Cup. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now I have to start looking up.
Mike.
Damn it, Mike.
Mike. He was so adamant, too.
When did it start last year? Can we look up what day it started last year? Is that okay?
Yeah. I mean, I think, too, maybe that's based on what date we're in now. I think he's looking at it as if it – maybe that's if that goes – if they go seven. Right. Okay. If they go seven, meaning San Jose and –
last year it started –
St. Louis.
Last year it did start on a Monday.
Yeah.
It did start May 28th last year on Monday.
So it might be if these series end up going seven, the earliest that they could start it is on Monday.
Jaffe will know. We have him in a half hour.
Okay, we'll ask Jaffe for sure.
You know, guys that really don't know, it could start on a Saturday or a Wednesday. Yeah. Jaffe better know. That's what we have him on for. Teach us.
That's what we pay him for. That's what we give him all that money for.
Ace, how we doing? Beetle? Artie?
Yeah, it has started on a Monday the last 2 years.
Zol.
(617) 779-0985. As you mentioned, we'll talk to Billy Jaffe coming up later this hour. Developments in the Robert Kraft situation. That case looks to be completely dead. And we'll tell you the latest on that coming up next. And more of your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Deal. Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Solak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
(617) 779-0985. Big, big blow to the prosecution yesterday in the Robert Kraft case. As the video from inside the Orchids of Asia Day Spa in Jupiter, Florida, the video was suppressed by Judge Leonard Hanser of Palm Beach County Court. He granted a motion by the defense to suppress the video. And because of that video evidence, that is what led to the traffic stop, and therefore the traffic stop is now inadmissible as well. So that has been thrown out. They cannot use the traffic stop in court. The evidence that has been presented for the charges is now not usable in court. This case could pretty much be over, and it could be dismissed in the coming days. So it looks like from a legal perspective, Zoe, the case is probably over. Probably. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
We see it's building to coming to an end. Yes, absolutely.
If you've been following along, it feels like there have been cracks in the case along the way. They've been, you know, hammered away at it, and here they go. This is the biggest break to this point, the biggest positive development for the Kraft defense team.
And we have a potential witness, former owner, pleading the Fifth Amendment rights today.
Who is that? What exactly happened?
I'm just looking it up right now.
I got it here.
Pete Swire.
Manager of Orchids, Orchids of Asia Day Spa, intends to invoke her Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination in the Robert Kraft case. Wang is also one of the women who is accused of providing sexual services to spa customers. So, going to plead the Fifth. That's all I got.
That's it?
Yep.
That's it.
So another item. Add to it.
Okay.
I'd expect this to be over by the end of the week.
What does that mean? I mean, for him, and legally. Does that mean anything?
No. You know, they
going to impact his case at all?
No.
Okay.
Shouldn't. I mean, if anything, they were going to give her leniency or, you know, use her to implicate him. Yeah. That's not the case now.
If she's not going to self-incriminate, that means she's not going to talk about the act that took place, right?
Talking about anything.
So I guess that sort of helps him. I don't know. I don't, legally, I have no idea, but.
Okay. But that is the latest in the case. The question now for, I think, everybody is what happens with the league? The league does not require a conviction. The league does not require for there to be.
No.
A court case. It doesn't require any of that.
No.
From reading Michael McCann's piece for SI.com, the thing I find most interesting is that the one thing the league may use against Robert Kraft is his public apology. Yeah. That his public apology might be the thing that the league will use against him in finding reason to punish him and levying any sort of, you know, suspension or fine against him.
Yeah, it's a red flag of, hey, I did something, I embarrassed myself.
Yes.
So you said it, you know, you did it. You fall under a different set of rules in the conduct policy with the league where we hold you to a higher standard. So
not even admitting that, you know, any wrongdoing there, but admitting that there is embarrassment. And therefore, if you're admitting that there is embarrassment that you have suffered,
I think it's
therefore
take,
we as a league have suffered embarrassment as well.
How's that going to be expedited? I think that's going to take forever. I mean, we're on day 19 with the Tyreek Hill stuff and no comments from the league. Nothing.
I told you that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Is he still a Kansas City Chief?
Still.
Oh, he is?
They kind of tweak things in the
draft. Ask Mike Florio. They kick him out of the league yet? Is he still going to play football?
No.
Told you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told you that outrage that was happening in the days, you know, in and around the draft. Oh, he should never play football. You go, yeah, that chance.
Another delusional person.
I'm just saying.
A delusional Tuesday.
Not that he's wrong. Not that anyone who said that is wrong to say or think that or root for that.
First bad guy in the league. It's
crazy. No, trust me that you're right. Mike Florio was right. And those who said this guy should never play again, you're absolutely right. But
the guy's a bum.
Stop kidding yourself. Remember who you're dealing with. Remember who this league is. Remember how they act. They're not in the business of punishing the guys who have, you know, have done things wrong. That's not what they do. If there were a video of it, then they'd be all over it. They act when there is, you know, real public outrage and there is video for everyone to see.
Well, that applies in this case, too.
They act, yeah, but there's no public video. There's a video that exists, but no one's seen it.
I'm saying that the video, no video means more leniency.
Oh, definitely.
That's what I'm saying. It applies in this case. Yeah.
If that, I'll tell you, if that video, which Michael McCann wrote a whole paragraph about today saying, you know, don't rule out. There are a lot of people who have seen that video and have had access to that video appearing on the internet someday.
Would you think the NFL's been offered that video for money?
No.
And do you think they would pay for it?
Good question. No, I don't think they
would pay for it. No, not with the judge and the way he's ruled now, because now Robert can turn and turn whoever gets the video, sue them.
It's probably been sent to them and sitting on a desk, and no one's seen it.
I
been
FedEx it to them.
Yeah, FedEx.
I didn't hear anything. I haven't been in the office. I don't even go in that office anymore. I just run 40s in the office. And then I just sit there and suck water to wet my lips because they get so dry. When I talk, my little lips like blades. I'm nervous. Yeah. Delusional Tuesday, we're calling it. It's funny to me that I think I
should have known Mueller wouldn't be able to find anything when he couldn't find that Ray Rice tape.
Sucker. 617-779-09.
You mean this tape? It's literally been sent to everybody.
We should have known
you
then.
You told me it was a DVD.
We should have known then. Oh, man. Matt is up next. He's got a Celtics thought today. What's up, Matt?
How's it going, guys? So I've been listening in the past few days hearing you talk about kind of the cap issues and how Zoe said Kyrie kind of holds you hostage here. Now, as we know, kind of the only way to avoid those cap implications is through trade. And the one thing that's been on the table so far is Anthony Davis. But one thing that I think you got to at least consider, especially when hearing Stephen A. talk about, you know, how much Kyrie and KD want to team up. You hear him through the season at the All-Star game being all buddy-buddy. And considering that, you know, we were kind of KD's second destination, you know, kind of came in second place, quote-unquote, yeah, 4 years back. If Kyrie does decide to stay, if Danny is able to work his magic and get him to stay, is the possibility of a sign-in trade or an opt-in and trade for KD even remotely realistic in your guys' opinion?
Who would he sign with and be?
I don't know. Let's stick with what he's saying, though. Let's just do this.
We did this.
Let's assume Danny can work his magic. Kevin Durant to the Celtics with Kyrie. Of course.
No. You know what? No.
Of course. But let me ask you a question.
What?
And Matt, I love that you're thinking this way. It's great. We should all think so positively. If KD and Irving and Kyrie Irving are going to join up and join forces, what's their motivation to do in Boston versus New York?
Kyrie with his movies.
James Dolan.
KD with his shoes.
It's a good one. No, it's a legit one.
I know that.
James Dolan's a moron.
But
reason number one, James Dolan sucks as an owner.
I would have said Brad Stevens, but now we don't know how Kyrie's relationship is with Brad.
I think Brad, you got to remove from the equation now because of the uncertainty there. I think based on what Stephen A. Smith said yesterday or Sunday regarding James Dolan, I was told that he will give you a blank check and say, I will get out of the way. I will remove myself from the basketball part of it. And James Dolan says,
Kyrie's motivation will be easy. Kyrie can make a lot more money.
He can make
Kyrie's motivation
more
is
money here.
I can make a ton more money.
See, he wants to go to New York. I think it's from the marketing standpoint.
He could sell a lot more sneakers in New York.
Does Durant want to go to a team that already has the guy there?
True.
Again. Or does they want to both go? If they both go to a new situation, he's not looking as he's joining somebody again.
They got to go revive the Knicks.
They would be saviors in New York.
They would. KD would be number one billboard in Times Square.
They would be saviors in New York, and here they would just be the latest great.
Remember,
Celtics.
You come out of Madison Square Garden, and Big Jordan, or the LeBron billboards there. It's KD now. It would be KD everywhere down there.
Unless they win the lottery, then it'll be KD, Kyrie, and Zion.
Oh. Billy Jaffe joins us at 12:50 to talk about tonight's Game 3. We'll get back to your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
First, our introduction. Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Billy Jaffe will join us coming up at 12:50. Let's go to your phones. Chris in Hartford, thanks for hanging on. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, morning, guys. Hey, we got to slow down a little, okay? Because I don't think Terry Rozier was playing defense on Kyrie Irving during the playoffs to make him shoot 30%. I don't think Rozier told Kyrie to tell the media he doesn't care and he's not even disappointed. The only thing he wants to do is get back safely. I don't think that Rozier told him the entire season to disrespect Brad, run plays in the practice, and then not even run him in the game. You talk to me about which guy.
So it feels like it feels like Terry Rozier really hasn't played comparative to last year, right?
What does that have to do?
Because I'm looking at his touches right here. He had 4,480 touches.
Zoe, you wanted to take his job too. You wanted to take his job too, Zoe.
What?
You know that.
You want
That's
what?
Your job is to push the guy. And not very professional for Kyrie. The great Kyrie never had a
backup. It's not professional for the backup to sit there and say that I sacrificed the most for a planet player.
He can say that at the end of the season if he's going to be leaving.
Can you give me a second?
He didn't say that during the season.
Terry, he said it after the fact. Which is worse.
Yeah, after the fact. That was professional.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He sounds so professional right now.
You would want this player back.
I would rather have Rozier back. Kyrie, I don't want to see Kyrie. Kyrie, that was so unprofessional. We're the Boston Celtics guys. We are listen to Perkins and Adam Jones on a podcast, what Perk said. Have a great day, guys.
I'm so glad Chris and Hartford's not building the Celtics because they would suck. They would be such a bad team.
He probably wants Olynyk back. You do that dance on the sideline.
No, absolutely. You definitely want to have Rozier over Kyrie Irving. So, that's the way to build the team. Yeah, no, definitely take Rozier over Kyrie.
Terry Rozier, phrased that as, I sacrifice the most out of anybody on the team, meaning...
You'll be awesome.
My minutes, my time, everything. Terry Rozier, do you know last year...
Scary Terry!
Terry Rozier had 4,480 touches of the basketball last year, a year ago. Back when, he took that team to the Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah. So how many touches do you think he had this year? Like 2,000 because he sacrificed so much?
What a bad team they'll be.
He had the second most touches on the team at 4,000.
What do you think that team's record will be?
97.
With Scary Terry leading the way.
They might win 41. I don't know. What do you think? It's a fun team to root for.
I tell you what, it doesn't even matter if it's Rozier or not. If you're on board with Kyrie leaving, and he might be gone, could very well be gone. It got nothing to do. But to wish for it, you're wishing for that 40-win season, if you're lucky.
Yeah. Philly's going to get better.
You'd rather have...
Raptors are good.
Rather have Terry Rozier over Kyrie Irving. I can't wrap my head around
it. That says everything.
Well,
you should probably go listen to the Perkins and...
Because I know these people.
It gets worse. That Terry Rozier sounds professional... Yeah. And that Kyrie Irving is unbecoming of a Celtic.
Exactly.
Terry Rozier's on national television taking shots at your coach and
listen,
his teammates.
I'm not defending Kyrie Irving's nonsense because he's had a bad attitude.
He's
There's no way around it.
He's a diva.
I'm just telling you that I'm willing to put up with it with Kyrie because his talent is so much.
And yeah, they're both jackasses.
Great. Yeah, they are. They're both jackasses.
That's fair, Jim.
Yes. They're both jackasses.
Just one of them.
I'll take the better jackass.
Yeah, one of them's much better than the other. And I know these people watch the games, but
I'll give Jim credit, though. Jim, you're being very consistent. You want both of them out of town now.
Yeah.
You want to get rid of both of these guys.
Yeah, I was okay until Rozier kept opening his mouth and giving details. If he didn't give details, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
Now I know.
It's like when you go to that jackass store and you see them two donkeys lined up. And I said, that's a nice looking jackass right there. And look at that jackass over there in pen number two. Watch this. Watch when the guy comes over with the overalls and that jackass just kicks a little bit higher than that jackass. You know what I'm going to do? When I buy the two jackasses, I have to pick between two. I'm going to take the one with the bigger kick.
Do you want a jackass?
I want the more talented jackass.
Yeah.
So
but
if I got to choose between the two, I'll take the jackass that kicks higher and maybe eats less hay.
I don't want the one that kicks though. You want the jackass to actually, pull a wagon.
What about
stuff?
The one that lowers its show? Give me that one. It makes that noise better than the other one.
I'll just take Kyrie Irving because he's so much better than Terry Rozier and these people who claim to, watch it. Fans, I've been with vet. You watch the games. Do you remember? Do you remember what Kyrie Irving does for this team as opposed to what Terry Rozier does for the team? Yeah, I know you watched, but do you see? Do you see the difference between the two players?
Not the guy from Hartford. He doesn't. He's Celtic pride. Professionalism.
Yes, if they played in a vacuum, yes. Individually, yes. Kyrie's much better than Rozier.
And I know you want to like him. You want to be able to like him.
No, I want him to play with his teammates. It's not about the likability or not. It's about him playing the team basketball. That's the part that I have a problem with.
Well, team basketball is not as important as being the best.
It's won being three out of the player. Last four championships for the Warriors, hasn't it?
Team basketball?
Yeah, they just happen to have really good players playing basketball.
They happen to have two of the best players in the league on the team.
Three.
That makes for a pretty good team.
And a hell of a rebounder.
That's what the Celtics were trying to do. But one guy wasn't playing that way. And Hayward was a shell of himself.
That's the guy gets off the easiest in all this. And we're sitting here railing on these two guys. This was a rehab year for Gordon Hayward.
How dare you say the Golden State Warriors play team basketball?
What a bad timing for Hayward.
Between Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, that's a team that's a solid.
I don't know, but
that's
a
solid team of plucky underachievers, and they just get out there and get it done with their scrappiness.
Not talent, style.
But it's no style. But one guy's having an off shooting night. You've got three other guys who can make the baskets. That's not team basketball. That's just common sense. That's literally roll the balls out there and go win because we've got some of the best players on the planet on this one team.
They look like a high
Tell
school.
Me, Golden
they,
State.
I watched Golden
plays
State
a
play.
Great team basketball game.
Golden State That's is nonsense. A McDonald's. They're a McDonald's High School All-American team is what they are. You watch those McDonald's High School All-American games, and it's freaking Golden State. They roll it out, and they just go. You're right to that aspect.
Of course.
The they system? Don't run baseline and screen and do all those things and play
Steve
defense.
Kerr?
Of course they do.
Yeah,
they got it going on out there.
They got the fundamentals down to a T. There's been precisely one team that has won the NBA championship as playing team basketball and not with the best talent in the last 20 years. We all know who it is. I don't need to say it again.
There we go.
That's not
04 Pistons.
So 04 Pistons. That's it.
Yeah, that was a team.
It was a team. That was one hell of a team. It was well coached, and it had five guys out there, and you're starting five. Not one of them necessarily superseded any other player on the court, not just on that team, but in any team they faced in terms of talent. Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, Ben Wallace, Rasheed.
Yeah, we know who's on the team.
Okay. Well, don't tell me that's the same thing as what the Golden State Warriors have.
No, it's not. I agree with you. I just think it's funny how you love talking about that 04 Pistons.
Because anytime someone starts talking about team basketball, I'm like, who cares? Who cares if they're a good team? It doesn't matter. Not in this league. Not in 2019. It doesn't. You got to have the best players. The end.
Billy Jaffe will join us coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zo and Bertrand.
Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in from,
Where are you?
Nesson, NHL Network, yeah. NHL Radio via Westwood One on the broadcast of this series all over the place. Yep. This guy, Billy Jaffe, how you doing, bud?
What's up, fellas? How
are you?
Hi, Beetle.
You local? You down there? Where are you?
Doing the series.
Yeah, I'm down here doing the series. I'm at the hotel. I'm at the hotel talking to you guys, getting ready to go get a little lunch after some little morning skate work, and ready to get back to the arena by about 4 o'clock to start talking on the NHL Network.
So tell me, why is it that Rod Brind'Amour will not tell us who's going to be in net tonight?
It's a good question. Rod just he's I don't think he's trying to be Rod's Rod. He's a great guy. I've known him since he was a freshman at Michigan State. He's just saying, look, I'm not going to be that guy. I think he's meaning like I'm just going to keep it in house for now. I don't know. Is it that big of a deal? I always go back to this, Beetle. We know starting pitchers for the World Series about 3 days in advance, you know, and that doesn't seem to impact teams that much. They prepare. So to me, it's just a routine that he's going through. My guess, my feel, the vibe is that it's going to be Curtis McElhinney instead of Peter Mrazek. That's just my guess.
How did he not pull him in between periods prior to that third on Sunday?
Well, this is my, you know, talking to people, my take. I was doing it, you know, down low ringside, and I thought that Peter Mrazek has been their guy, okay? So, and even though he was injured for a couple of games, he's been his guy. I think he was hoping, going into the third period, that if they got a goal early, they'd keep going with him. I thought he'd be pulled after that early third period goal was 5-0. And I watched Mrazek from ringside about three times look over to the bench. Rod Brindamore was saying that that was more of a, he wanted to stay in, meaning like he's in for the long haul. I started this game. I want to battle through this. They haven't pulled their goalie all year, though. They have not done it. Even in bad games, they haven't done it, except for when a goalie was injured. And that was just a couple of weeks ago when Mrazek got injured. So, he's just staying true to form. It's very old school. It's, you know, the new school way of pulling goalies. You know, Mike Keenan was the first guy that really did it crazily, where he would pull a goalie, put him back in, pull a goalie, put him back in. But in the old days, goalies just stayed in, even when it was 5-0. They stayed in to finish the game.
We are talking with Billy Jaffe as we get ready for Game 3. This game tonight obviously represents a lot, Billy, in that there's no coming back from being down 3-0. Is there any coming back from being down 2-0? We know the history here since they've gone to this format. Teams are 30-2 once they go up 2-0, yeah. And the Bruins look to be cruising in this thing. Should we be looking for a comeback here? Are we overlooking the Hurricanes at this point by thinking that the Bruins are going to go on to win this thing?
I feel like it's, you know, let's not get greedy just yet. Let's remember that the Hurricanes were down 2-0 to the Washington Capitals, a team that we as Bruins people, I think, have to significantly respect, given the fact that the Bruins finally beat them this year in a 1-0 game. What was it, the first time in 14 games that they ended up beating them? And the Carolina Hurricanes were down 2-0 to them, came home, and ended up beating them. You know, listen, the series seems to be in favor of the Bruins right now. But tonight is going to be, it's going to be an unbelievable environment. You're going to have 19,000 people going nutso here. They know that this game is gigantic. I feel a little bit more comfortable if the Bruins win this one. I think if the Bruins don't win this one, then you got yourself setting up for a scratch and claw. I still think the Bruins win this series when all's said and done. But it wouldn't be nearly as easy. This game tonight is going to be this mega game. It's going to be nuts. And I don't want to look past this team, given the fact the Bruins are the better team, but given the fact that they've had a really good it factor this year in Carolina, especially late in the season.
Other than changing goalies, what other adjustments could they make? You know, the Bruins have done. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're going to change. They've got to change their penalty kill a little, Zoe. They've got to.
It's putrid.
Yeah, they've allowed goals from in front of the net. So you had the Johansson goal the other game, and then in DeBrusque, you know, last game, yeah. And they're right in front of the net because their forwards and their D, they both sift away. You know, they move up the, when I say up the ice, I mean they move up a couple of feet from the goal, from the net area more, and that allows for that Bruin player Johansson or DeBrusque to get to pucks. Remember, DeBrusque had 2-3 whacks at it before he put it in. I think that they've got to pull a guy a little bit lower right there. You know, the Bruins pack the crease or the slot area more, whereas the Canes, they get out a little bit more. I think they've got to come back into that area, and I would look for them to perhaps change up their centers a little bit. Jordan Staal and Sebastian Aho a bit more in this game. So that's something I think that they have to do to try and free up and get Aho some more ice time.
All right, Billy, when you look at this Bruins team, why is the top line not why didn't they score in game two? Why hasn't Marchand been able to score? Why hasn't Pastrnak been able to score? Where are these guys?
Well, they're all right. I'm actually, you know, just Rod Brindamore, Beetle, said maybe an hour ago now, he said, I wish that those guys, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, I wish that those guys had been, you know, on top of their game, meaning producing points, because we know they're going to start producing. He says it's not like they haven't been good, but the fact that everybody else is producing takes the pressure, takes the onus off of them. I mean, Bergeron didn't eclipse 15 minutes last game, Beetle. I have no issue with their game. I think that we haven't seen those ultra-sustained long shifts of them in the offensive zone, but they have gotten there. We saw Pastrnak with a really good dangle around Jacob Slavin last game, too. I feel like the feeling I'm get is that they're close. Maybe the fact that Carolina has put so much onus on defending them, I think that's something as well. That, you know, that you got to sometimes, you know, understand that the opponent's good. I think they're close. I think they're due for a game coming up where they're going to put up, a couple of points as a trio.
All right, Billy. Appreciate it, man. Have a great call. Have a great coverage down there. Have a good lunch.
I will have a great lunch.
Where are you going?
Thanks a lot. I'm going to go get a salad. Got to stay light, you know?
Nice. All right, Billy. Talk to you soon.
Fun eating leaves. See you, bud.
Goodbye, Beetle. Goodbye, Zoe.
See ya. Goodbye, Hardy. Jaffe. On the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hardy has our headlines. They take just a minute or so, and we're right back. We'll get to your calls here on the fourth and final hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.